just recognise that we've been looking at a topic, I believe an important topic, of offence and forgiveness, and recognising the biblical truths that provide us all with a way forward in overcoming offences. Amen? We need that way forward sometimes in being able to overcome any bitterness that we might have toward others. And we've been talking about that. Is this still all right? Okay. And the Bible tells us, and we've understood this, that we overcome evil with good, don't we? You know, that's the Bible way, is when there's evil around us, we actually use good to overcome it. And that's a great truth to get a hold of. The kingdom way of dealing with conflict is different to the world's way. You know, as we have been getting into this, we should be seeing now that love manifested by forgiveness is a powerful message to carry and to actually, you know, have on display in our lives as well, as we find opportunities where there's someone that we need to forgive, someone we need to let off the hook, someone that we're offended with that we need to let it go. How many of you know that that's something that we all need to get good at in the Christian life, is letting things go, letting other people off the hook actually sets us free. You know, you say, but you don't know what they did to me. You know, the bottom line is you don't know what Jesus did for you. That's the focus, isn't it? And we need to focus on that. Letting others off the hook sets us free. You know, just as a recap, we looked last week at, and of course what I believe is a great truth to get a hold of, and it's out of the New Living Translation. And it's 1 Corinthians 14:1, and it says, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Speak the word of God as he gives it, prophesying. And you know, we need to see this. All of the gifts of the Spirit that our Father God wants to build into our lives is built on the foundation of his love. Built on that foundation. Paul is saying, get love right in your life. Get it right in your life. Because love is the right foundation for the gifts of the Spirit to operate. And you know, if you've been used in the area of the gifts of the Spirit, very Moorish, but the foundation is love, getting love working. And of course, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Great fruits of the Spirit just actually being mentioned there as well. Bear with each other and forgive any complaint you may have against any other person. Against any other and against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. It's such an important truth to get a hold of. And then it goes in verse 14, it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which is the bond of perfect unity. The bond of perfect unity. What a great scripture. See, when we make love our highest goal, the Lord commands blessing in our midst. Love is the bond of perfect unity. And you say, well, what's the bond? It's the glue that holds it all together. Love. You know, that ability to quickly get over an offence, quickly let an offence go, let someone off the hook. That's the glue that holds us all together. What would it be like if we're all walking around rubbing each other the wrong way and everybody's reacting and, you know, and taking that person off their Christmas card list? That's it. No more Christmas cards for you. You know, what would church be like if we were all behaving that way? Wouldn't be very good, would it? Certainly not an attractive presence or atmosphere to come into, because I tell you what, you could feel the atmosphere if that was what was going on. It's good prevention, isn't it? Someone said, you know, is that a preventative message? You bet it is. Because we need to learn to act on the word and put it into action in our lives, just as the word says. Love is the bond of perfect unity. It's the glue that holds us all together. He is the Lord building his kingdom, building his church, and one of the key building materials that he's talking about here is love. Love, God's love. That ability to love as he loves. It's the glue that keeps us in perfect unity. I went a little further on this last week to say that we should hold each other accountable to the discipline of love and forgiveness. It's a good truth to get a hold of as well, is that when we hear others speaking of their offenses, talking about the thing that offended them, talking about how they don't like that person, it's the opportunity for us all to be the one that encourages that one that's talking to us to go and get it right with the one that just fell off their Christmas card list. It's true. It's the opportunity. It's the opportunity for us to encourage others. Getting very quiet in this Pentecostal church right now, you know. Because, you know, this is the type of thing that we need to be talking about openly, how we build unity by behaving this way and applying these disciplines to ourselves and, you know, in love, encouraging others to apply those same truths to ourselves as well and to their own lives. It's the opportunity to be the one that encourages, to get it right, forgive the other person, to go to them with your complaint. You see, we want the blessing of the Lord. And we want the blessing of the Lord when we get together, you know. And of course, it's beautifully captured in Psalm 133. There, it says this, verse one. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's pleasant and it's good, and we should have more of it, and more want and want more of it. Now, just going back there to Colossians chapter. Flipping around a little bit here today. Just go back to Colossians 3:13. Look what it says. It's talking here very much about the quality. It says, "Bear with each other and forgive any complaint that you may have against one another." Forgive. And he tells us how to do it. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So, you know, if you're a person that's enjoying the forgiveness of the Lord and say, "Gee, I'm so glad the Lord forgave me," that's the same way that we should be looking to forgive the other people in our lives who rub us the wrong way, who do wrong by us, who hurt us, who upset us. And of course, we all have people who are like that in our lives. It's that quality of love that we need to define. It's the agape, the Greek word for that word love in the Bible, when you look it up, is agape. Agape love. It's that unconditional love that is required of us. And the mistake to make here is that to forgive like the Lord forgive means that we need to have that warm, fluffy feeling. How many of you know that the warm, fluffy feeling doesn't necessarily come when you forgive someone, when you let someone off the hook? The warm, fluffy sort of, you know, affectionate feeling is not there necessarily. But we need to forgive from the heart. That's where we forgive from, where we let the person off. They've made a mistake. It hurt me, but hey, I'm going to let them off. That's how we do it. That's how God forgives. He forgives unconditionally. It's not the case that we forgive their error and don't hold them to their error. We let it go. We let it go. Jesus' ministry was an expression of the love of God. And a classic example is over there in John chapter 8. And we should see it. It's probably one that you know about. But John chapter 8 and verse 1 through to 6, it says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he went back into the temple courts, and all the people came to him, and he sat down to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees, however, brought to him a woman caught in adultery." Pretty bad day for that lady. "In the law, Moses..." They made her stand before them and said, "Teacher," talking to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" And they said this to test him. Don't you love a test in public? Here's Jesus in that exact situation. "And they said this to test him in order to have a basis for accusing him." So it wasn't necessarily what was going on here that they were interested about. They wanted to bring Jesus down. They wanted to bring him down because he wasn't doing the law, and therefore they could then start stoning him, because actually he was showing them up and he was an irritation to their ministry. "But Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger." You know, there's nothing like a long pause at a hard question. No idea what Jesus was doodling in the ground there, but I tell you, I think it was just a long pause, and they're all waiting him to, "Well, what are you going to do, Jesus?" But we know what he was thinking, and of course what he was thinking came out in his answer. And basically what he was thinking, how can a sinner condemn another sinner? How can that happen? Look what it says over in verse 7. It says, when they continued to question him, he straightened up and said to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to cast a stone at her. And again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard this, as they began to go away one by one, beginning with the older ones, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. And then Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. She answered, then neither do I condemn you. And Jesus declared, now go and sin no more. He didn't give her license to go on sinning. He told her, don't go and sin, go and sin no more. In other words, don't do that. You know, remove yourself from sin. Very important to see that part as well. He didn't condone it. Jesus did not come to condemn. That's the truth that we've got to get a hold of. He didn't come to condemn. It was the main focus of his mission. It was to overcome that separation between man and God. And he did it through love and forgiveness. He did it through the love of God. I always like to, you know, because we hear John 3:16, but I always like to point out John 3:17 to 18 as well. And it's a great scripture because it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That was his approach. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son. There's the sin that actually eclipses all other sins. You know, that's the one that actually causes a person to be in trouble as far as hell is concerned. And of course, you know, we need to understand that. It's our best example to help us when we're in conflict toward others is to understand that Jesus didn't come to condemn, and nor should we. Amen. We're called by God to love others and to forgive others, even when they have been ugly toward us. For many that hear this message, it's like a new concept. I know sometimes you hear this as a new Christian sometimes, but it's a pathway to freedom. It's a pathway to break through into the place that God wants you in. And, we have to see the quality of the love of God. And this is where I want us just to spend a little bit of time, the time that we've got remaining this morning, to see that quality of love. You know, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to move on from this message, because we've been bringing this message for a few weeks now. I wanted to move on from this message, and it was a lot like the Lord said, no, stay with it. And each time he sort of add a little bit to me, which I believe was good for us all to receive. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Great scripture. Let us love one another. We have to see that the quality of love that is being spoken of is that agape, unconditional love. It's that goodwill love, that goodwill toward others. Goodwill means that we're quick to forgive and let it go, quick to forgive and let someone off the hook. What it says in 1 John 4:8, it says, oops, jumped a bit. The one who does not love does not know God. Whoa. Because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, that word propitiation usually escapes some people, but that word propitiation, it's a word that we don't often hear very often, but it means that Jesus, in dying on the cross, was the appeasement for our sin. His death was a payment for the penalty of the sin of mankind. That we that were bound and held captive by sin, Jesus at the cross paid the price for that sin, so that we could be set free from its influence. Amen. Look what it says in verse 11. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. Such a simple truth, such a simple word to actually get a hold of. If God loved us in that way, unconditionally, sacrificially, we need to love one another the same way. I tell you, it puts an end to conflict. It puts an end to those, you know, look, I know that in our humanity, there's still those little irritations sometimes that come up. We all have them, don't we? But when they become like a problem to us, when they become the thing that we know we need to overcome, we have the best example that we have. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. He goes on, John, in this epistle, he goes on and says, this is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us assurance to us from his Spirit, and we have seen and we testify the Father has sent his Son as the world's Saviour. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. You know, this really gets down to the very crux of the message. Is it such a clear reference here to the result of loving one another? God remains in us. God remains in us. In other words, there's that presence, that that essence of his presence that we so all want to walk in, minister through, be about, where people sense him in our lives when we come in contact with them and experience his power even better. We need to maintain his manifest presence, not just when we gather together, but also in our own lives through our connection with him and through us making sure that whatever we build into our Christian lives, it's on the foundation of his love and his best example of that love, which is sacrificial, unconditional, letting people off the hook, letting it go, not holding great big long accounts and a big long list of people who you don't like. Have to get rid of that part. You know, that spiritual impact on the atmosphere around us comes from God's love being perfected in us. Amen. And it's a good feeling to have in your own life as well. John, over there in 1 John 4, and we'll just... Yeah, sorry. For time, I just want us to go over to this part. It says there, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother... Now, this is really getting to the crux of it, isn't it? If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love the God he has not seen. And we have this command from him. The one who loves God must also love his brother or sister or the person that, you know, you wouldn't consider as being family. You know, the person that's potentially rubbed you the wrong way and or maybe hurt you or said some things about you, made trouble for you. You know, I want us to get a hold of these truths today because I believe that that's what makes the difference in our own life as far as the atmosphere that we carry around us and also the atmosphere that we can have when we gather together. You know, no one's perfect, but we all go through these stages where we realize that we need to be more like him. And of course, these truths about God's love and actually stepping out in that love in our lives is what helps us to be more like him as we go about our, you know, our work life, as we go about, you know, getting out into the community. You know, instead of excusing ourselves from these disciplines, we need to actually start asking ourselves, what is it that we can do to work these disciplines back into our life? You know, I'll be the first one to say that it's not very pleasant when you're kind of out of sorts with someone. It's not the most pleasant. I'll be the first one to say that. You know, Rose and I have been married now, 31 years, I think, was the last milestone. 31 years. It'll be 32 years this year, I think. And she'll tell me later if I was wrong. But, you know, every now and then, not very often, but we'll have a disagreement about something. And what we've learned in that marriage relationship, because I tell you, if any of these truths are most applicable, it's in the marriage relationship, because the relationship is in your face, you know. Someone needs to be the first one to forgive the other one. How many of you married ones know? You know, and if we read the Bible a little bit around the whole area of marriage, we know that the man is the head of the, you know, home. If we, you know, we look at the scriptures, the way that it teaches us that, man is the head of the home. So just, you know, wanting to get into some logics here, who is the first one to forgive? Amen. The man. He has to be the first one to forgive. This is how I do it. Rosemary, I know you're wrong, but but I forgive you. No, that's not how I, honestly, that is not how I do it. And I tell you what, I probably spend more time sleeping on the couch out on the veranda if that was the way I was handling it. But you understand what I mean is that even not just in our marriage relationships, but with our family relationships, someone's got to take the decision to be the one to say, look, I forgive you. Or be the one that wants to patch it up. And sort of get back to the place where at least you can talk about the difference. And, we've found in marriage that one of the real key, methods of overcoming unforgiveness toward one another is to agree to disagree without being disagreeable. You see, that disagreeableness is the part that really needs to be dealt with. Well, we're feeling very disagreeable because we had something that, our marriage is just the same as anyone else's. We have things to work through, on almost a weekly basis where we disagree about something or we've got a different thought, a different, opinion about something. And of course, we'll thrash that out. And very rarely does it get to the point where we're not talking, because that's the first line of defense, isn't it, for anyone that's disagrees, I'm not talking to you. and you get that deathly silence, Oh, shall we do such and such and such and such, and of course there's silence, there's no answer. It's like, oh. And of course, but what we're saying is, I'm hurt, aren't we? That's what we're saying is, I'm hurt. And when someone's hurt against you, you might want to consider whether or not there's something that you can do to help them overcome that hurt. Usually it's through discussion, it's through dialogue, coming to a place of recognizing what the issue is. And then if you have to get to that place of disagreeing, agreeing to disagree without being disagreeable. And you could do that in the workplace as well, It's a way to get back to that place where God wants us all, and that's walking in love toward one another, letting each other off the hook. And things that that today you might be very, very strong about, that you're digging your heels in about and saying, no, I will not compromise on this position or, et cetera, et cetera. In a few days' time, it's like, what was that all about again? You know what I'm talking about, right? What was all that about again? And we just, again, it's gone. But be quick to forgive. Be quick to be, to forgive like God forgave, where he recognized that we needed that, that mankind needed that, that salvation that we all enjoy now because he did. And be that one that wants to be more like Christ than anyone else. Amen? Pursue it. And adopt this lifestyle of forgiveness. The way of love and forgiveness is a lifestyle that we're all being called to. And I'm not saying that it's not hard, but to be who we're called to be, love is foundational. Both as individuals and as a church, fulfilling its God-given mission. And we do have a God-given mission here. And the way we do it is by people being embraced by the love of God, touched by his presence. And, we all contribute to that presence in one way or another and working through perhaps our differences, but working through them in a godly way, being quick to forgive and let go of unforgiveness. So let's just, why don't we all just stand to our feet and we're going to pray today as we close. Ask the Lord, through this series I've been asking and just making the invitation that if there's anyone that's got, an area of unforgiveness that it's just like turned into that root of bitterness where you just can't let it go. It's just an area that is difficult for you to overcome. I just want to make the invitation again today that you can come on down the front afterwards. You don't have to come down and give a testimony about it to get free of it. You can come down and we'll just pray with you and lay hands on you and hopefully see you through it. But I just, while we're in this series, want to give this opportunity for anyone that's got those there that just needs someone to stand with them to overcome it and expect the grace and hand of the Lord upon you to get released from that. Those roots of bitterness, you've got to get right back down to it and actually deal with it, and let God come into that situation and of course heal your heart. So Father, we again just thank you for today, Lord God. We thank you for Lord, your word into our lives today, Lord God, we thank you. It's the truth of your word, Lord God, is like a lamp, Father, to our feet, a guide into our path, Father. Shows us where we are, shows us where we can go. And that, Father, the entrance of your word gives us light. And Lord God, that in that light, Father God, we see the things, Father God, of darkness. So Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word today. Lord, we thank you that each of us have received an opportunity to make an application of it in one way or another, Lord. Lord, just maybe as a prevention for conversations that we have and the way we speak about others, even to others, Lord. Lord, help us to get over that. Lord, help us to be the people that are a part of the answer, not part of the problem. Help us to be those ones, Lord God, that build an atmosphere of love around us wherever we go, Father. That very essence of your presence, Lord, would be maintained in our lives and as we gather as a church, Lord God. We ask all of these things today in the precious name of Jesus. And Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks and praise. And all the people said amen. Amen.